Again, our text for this Christmas season is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're looking at each phrase in that verse. And today our text, I'll read 1 Timothy 3. You can keep Hebrews 1 open. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Today we will be focusing on that fact revealed that Jesus was seen by angels. And we turn to Hebrews chapter 1 to learn more about that. Hear now God's word. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are these angels not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Here is the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for reminding us that we are not alone, that there are beings which you have created, which we cannot see with our eyes, but which are around the universe. And we thank you that you protect us and preserve us from harm. And we thank you especially that through your Holy Spirit, you live in our hearts and draw us to understand whatever portion of the Scripture we are at. So guide us, we pray, in this day, that we might believe and grow in our love for you and be increasingly found thankful to you for your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, on the back side of the bulletin, you'll find a sermon outline if you'd like to see that, help follow along. The Christian faith rests on solid historical evidence. Our faith also rests on heavenly evidence. Jesus, our Savior, was God come down from heaven, manifested in the flesh. We studied that a few weeks ago. He came into human history. He rose from the dead in human history. He also ascended into heavenly glory on a specific day in real world history. But that is not the end of the evidence. When Jesus ascended in the sky, we know he was not being teleported by aliens up to some mothership. Some people have actually thought that. We know he ascended up to the heavens into the heavenly throne room of the Father himself. And there were eyewitnesses there, the angels who saw him in that moment. There are heavenly eyewitnesses to the fact of Christianity. This comfort and mind-boggling truth is revealed to us in our passage today. Part of the secret of godliness, of what the Christian faith is all about, is unlocked for us in these simple words that angels saw Jesus. Angels saw Jesus. Now, what are angels? What is an angel? The word angel by itself, if you look in a dictionary, it means messenger. Angels are messengers of God. And that's why, on a few occasions in the Bible, the word angel is often translated differently. You don't see it translated as angel because it is used sometimes for people who God uses to bring a message, a prophet or a pastor, an apostle, or so on. But most of the time, and certainly our text is one of those, the meaning is for that angel, the spiritual being that exists, that God created, that we can't see but know is there. Now, there are people who don't believe angels even exist. When Jesus lived, the Sadducees, some of the Jewish leaders were Sadducees, and they didn't believe angels existed. The modern evolutionist and atheist doesn't believe in a spirit world, but God declares that angels do exist. They were created just like he created the moon and the tree and the ladybug, so he created angels. Psalm 8, verse 5, describes that angels have a place in the universe just a little bit higher than humans. But there's a lot of confusion about what angels are and what they do. We won't get into all of that. We certainly have to be careful about what the Bible says, and never to go beyond what the Bible says about anything. Otherwise, we'll fall into all sorts of strange and useless speculation about how many angels can dance on the end of a pin, as some theologians have done. Or if an angel, God uses angels to guard us, how many angels does he use to guard us? And is it the same angel always, or do they take turns? The Bible doesn't care to give us these details. Some people also conclude silly things like angels having to earn their wings, or humans becoming angels. These things are not true. Let's go to the Bible and trust that God, who's surrounded by angels right now and can see them, knows what they are. Angels, the Bible tells us, are like humans in some ways. Here's how they are like us. They have an intellect and they have a will. They think and they make decisions. Animals are not that way. Animals live by instinct, but not angels. The Bible describes angels as singing, speaking, believing. Angels have desires. And in the case of the bad angels that we call demons, they lie and they sing. Angels are like humans in some ways. But angels are not like God. They don't know the future. They don't know the day when Christ will return. They don't know what's in your mind and in your heart the way that God does. They only know what God tells them, just like us. But in other ways, angels are not at all like humans. They are spirits. They do not have bodies. God might allow them to appear form of a human for a short time, but they are spirits. Angels do not have children. They do not reproduce. And the Bible also says they do not die. Think about it. That means the angels that exist today are as old as the sun and the moon. The exact same angels have always been around. The exact same ones. They're not spirits of dead people. When somebody dies, your spirit goes immediately to the place that God has designed, whether that be heaven or hell. But the most important difference between angels and humans is this. Angels are not created in the image of God. Angels are not loved by God in Christ Jesus the way that you and I are. There's an excellent essay on angels by a Reformed pastor of years ago. His name is Herman Bovink, and he writes this. The full image of God is unfolded in creaturely fashion only in humans. As humans, we are the ones who see that God is love. Angels see God in His majesty, in His power, in His holiness, but it's only you and I that know what it means for God to be love. This is very important for us to understand. Angels are wonderful, powerful, mysterious creatures. They follow God's orders, whatever His orders are, wherever they are, they can fly across the universe in the blink of an eye. And yet they only exist to serve God and to help you and I, humans, in serving God. The stage of world history, of the universe's history, is here on earth. Angels don't live here. They might be here from time to time. They don't live here or belong here. They're not made of the earth like you and I, and even like Jesus in His human nature. This is where Jesus fights the war with sin and the devil. In this world, this is where Jesus was born. Now we know that the Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of the universe, including over every dominion, spirit, power, angel. But Christ is not both Lord and Savior of the angels. The angels will never be listed on any church roll as members of the church. The angels' names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only humans, whom Christ has saved, can be called His bride. Only we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God. So we can praise God today that angels saw Jesus and obeyed His command. But we can thank God today that we're not angels. That we're made in His image. That He thought we were so valuable and so worth it, and I don't know why, that He sent His own Son when we were still sinners and rebels against God and hated Him. He sent His own Son to come into the world to die for us. God never loved an angel like that. But He loves us that way. Well, we've looked at what angels are. Let's now try to understand when it is the Bible is talking about Jesus was seen by angels. When was it that Jesus was seen by angels? Angels had shown an interest in Jesus at every major point in His life. They serve as heavenly witnesses for all eternity to who Jesus was and what He did. Even when you and I have come and gone, even when the people who knew Jesus lived for a while and died, the angels who saw Him then are still around today. They've never died. They can still witness and bring forth evidence. We see Jesus being watched by angels, of course, at the very beginning of His life, in His incarnation. In fact, even before He was born, angels predicted His birth. We know the familiar historical story of the angel Gabriel being sent to Mary. We read in Luke 1, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw this angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what kind of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Angels predicted that ahead of time. And then once Jesus was born, they announced that fact. The shepherds ran to find Jesus, and how did they know which baby it would be? The angels told them to find the one in a manger, to find the one in a manger wrapped in little cloths. That's the baby. That's the one. when Jesus triumphed over Satan, when he was a grown man, and his temptations the devil brought upon him, and Jesus resisted them and continued to obey God in perfect righteousness in a way that you and I could never do as sinners. When he did that, angels saw and came to him. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. He was hungry, and the angels cared for him. Later in his life, when Jesus was in the depths of his suffering and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, "Oh Lord, if there's any way that you can take this cup of God's wrath away from me, please do it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The very next verse we read, the Father answers the prayer. He doesn't say, "Okay, you won't have to suffer." He says, "I'm sending an angel to you to help you through the suffering that you will endure for my people." Angels are there with Jesus, seeing his love for us in what he did on the cross. Jesus said there are 12, more than 12 legions of angels that I could call on right now to help me with these Roman soldiers and guys with clubs that are coming to arrest me. They got nothing. They got no power compared to the power of thousands upon thousands of angels that I could use. But instead, Jesus told those angels, "Sit tight. Just watch. You're not coming tonight." He could have used their help, but he did not, because of his love for you and me. And he went on and was forsaken by God and his angels for us on the cross. And the angels saw that. They know that they could have helped, but they were not sent. And the angels witness to that fact still today. The angels also saw Easter morning, the resurrection of Christ. We read that God used the angels to assist so many of the details of that morning. In Matthew 28, verse 2, we read, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Could Jesus have rolled the stone back himself? Of course he could have. He was God. He had that kind of power. God sent an angel to do it. And then we read a bit later, women come to the tomb and they see two angels there, dressed in shining white, sitting one at the head and one at the foot where Jesus' body had been. Angels saw Jesus and saw that he was not there and announced that to those who came. Angels also saw Jesus' ascension into heaven. Remember the angels that came to these bewildered disciples who thought after Jesus had risen from the dead he was going to be with them forever now. And now he's gone. What's going on? And in Acts 1 verse 10 we read, "While they're looking steadfastly toward heaven as Jesus was going up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the same manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Those are the angels on that day who spoke to man. But we go to the book of Revelation and we see about the angels who on the same day spoke to Jesus after he ascended into heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, we read that Jesus was welcomed back into heaven by the angels. The Lamb who was worthy to enter heaven because of his perfect, righteous life enters heaven, and when he arrives, we read, the Apostle John looked, "And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, and they're all singing Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Jesus was received back into heaven by the angels. The angels saw him at every step of his life. All the steps that me, you, and I have eternal life and hope and comfort, the angels saw that. Things that you and I have never seen firsthand, the angels did. And they testify to that fact and that truth. Well, why does it matter for us? The last thing we want to look at is, why does it matter for us that the angels saw Jesus? What's the point? A little bit easier, perhaps, to understand why God had to come in the flesh, or last week even, Jesus being vindicated in the Spirit. But what's really the point here of God being seen by angels? Well, first, we want to understand why it doesn't matter. Why it doesn't matter. What it doesn't mean. You see, we believe angels exist, but we do not believe in angels. You understand the difference? Our faith and our hopes are in Christ. Not in people, and not in angels either. Christians would never pray to angels. They would never pray to God through angels. We have someone who's higher and more precious than the angels, the Lord Jesus Himself. And the angels who are still around, because they haven't died, they don't come up to us today and say, "My name is Gabriel, my name is the Archangel Michael." But they don't say that to us. They don't identify themselves to us. And we're not told to expect that to happen or to try and discover where they are or what they're doing. That's God's business. We know God sometimes uses them for His secret purposes to protect us. And other times God protects us without their help. However He does it, praise God that He protects us. But we never know for sure when or how it happens. But the angels are important and valuable for us today. Especially, not because I can look and say, "Hey, there's an angel." But because I can read in the Bible about what they have done and the truth they have testified to in the history of God's Word and of His salvation of His people. What does it matter that angels saw Him? Well, here's one reason why it matters. Because the angels saw Him. The angels point us to Christ. That's why it matters. Just like every page on the Bible you can read, I don't care where you go, the focus is upon Jesus in some way. Every letter in the Bible is really written with blood. Blood red. The blood of Christ. It is all about Christ. And so too, every action, thought, and word of God's holy angels points to Christ in His glory and majesty in some way. Our Bible reading from Hebrews 1 makes this very clear. You see, the author to the Hebrews was writing to a church that was starting to mix the truth of God with some of the false ideas around them, including ideas that involved worshiping angels or worshiping God through angels. And the first chapter of Hebrews stresses how foolish that is and how foolish it is, especially because God has sent His Son. Jesus is here. Now that Jesus is here, there's nothing better to wait for, to look forward to. We don't need anything new or anything more. When Jesus was on the cross, He said about redemption, "It is finished." And Hebrews chapter 1 says, concerning God's talking to man, "It is finished." God's done revealing Himself. It's all written here in the Word of God. Jesus is the final word that is spoken. It is finished. And now we read the angels are not sent down from heaven to earth to tell us messages that we wouldn't know. Now that the message is finished, the angels are staring up in heaven, looking at us, watching the church to find out what God's secret plans and purposes are. The wisdom of God in saving His people. You can read about that in Ephesians 3, verse 10. It says the angels are watching us and learning wisdom from what goes on in the church. What could the angels give us today, now that God Himself has already given us His Son? What could we possibly get from an angel that we don't already have in Christ?
Nothing.
And so Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 said that after Jesus cleaned our heart from our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high and has become so much better than the angels and has by His inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God the Father never called an angel my son. Only Jesus is His well-beloved Son. Jesus of Nazareth. And in fact, Hebrews 1 says, verse 5 and 6, that after Jesus came to earth, God turned to the angels and said, worship Him. Worship Him. The angels point us to Christ. So how totally foolish it would be for us today to see angels when our Bible text says angels saw Christ. Oh, I know the temptation to go home and say, we heard a sermon about angels today. I hope you didn't. Either you weren't listening, or I failed, or both, because this Bible passage is not about angels. It's about angels seeing Christ. It's about Christ. This Christmas season, we know we're not supposed to get caught up with all the commercialism and all the things that we got to buy and all the greed and covetousness, but let us also be certain not to get caught up with all the sentimentality and this false spirituality and religious ideas, looking to angels and stars in the east instead of being fascinated with Christ Himself. The angels were only there to see Christ. We don't see Him. Then what good are the angels to us? Why does it matter for us that angels saw Him? Because they point us to Christ. But also, knowing that angels saw Jesus' every move and gave Him glory in everything is an encouragement to us. You see, you and I have meaning in our life. Angels are watching us, our every move as well. As the gospel is being preached right now at this very minute, there are angels, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels around the universe, watching us in every true Christian church around the world, because in 1 Peter 1 verse 12 it says, the angels desire to look into the things of God as they are proclaimed to God's people. They're watching us. They want to learn. They want to know God's grace. How is that work in us? What we believe, what we think, how is it? They want to see us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Angels are watching to see that. Let me ask you, what is it that gives you the greatest pleasure? What is it that makes you happier than anything else in all your life? As a Christian, we really think about it long and hard. We have to say what gives us most pleasure is when we know that we've given glory to God. And the second most pleasurable thing we could ever possibly know is that by our faith and our life, we have caused someone else to give glory to God. Isn't that the joy of raising children and seeing them not only recite a few words at a Christmas program, but to believe that and grow up to live that and to follow that? In part because of their involvement in our family and in our congregation by God's grace. And so too, God says in Luke 15, verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So let's repent of our sin and preach the gospel to others and know that when we do this, we're causing angels to give glory to God. God gets double glory from us and from the angels. That's why it matters that angels saw Jesus. Another reason it matters that angels saw Jesus is because the angels serve as heavenly witnesses, bringing forth the evidence that Jesus is who He said He was. He's done what the Bible says He did. Christianity is true. Let no one confuse you or deceive you. The angels give testimony to that. Jesus' mission really was from above. He really was from God. You see, even though Jesus had to lay aside all the glory that he should have received forever, constantly, in order to come to earth, the angels still knew who he was. Jesus of Nazareth in the human flesh, they still worshipped him as their King and Lord. Even when nobody else worshipped Jesus and everybody else doubted, the angels knew. The men and women of God's own disciples who came and doubted and wondered to the empty tomb and couldn't see clearly, the angels saw clearly who Jesus was. This aspect of the witness of the angels seeing Jesus is very important. God's witness is a witness that is not a take it or leave it kind of thing. It's for everybody, and you believe it. If you don't, there are consequences. As John Calvin preached helpfully, for the unbelievers, these same angels serve as an infinite multitude of witnesses who will testify against them on the last day. For the angels do not lie. They are ministers of the truth of God. So then, even though all the wicked people who are steeped with all their corruptions and sins, they take pleasure in doing whatever they want and hardening their hearts in unbelief, they have more than enough witness to prove that they knew what they were doing and to condemn them. But the angels of paradise appeared so that there might no longer be any excuse for us not to believe in Jesus, to bow before his majesty. The angels have seen it all, and God will use them to bring punishment on the unbeliever. Boys and girls, angels are not fluffy stuffed animals with wings like you might have at home. Those are stuffed animals. Angels, described in the Bible, are powerful and frightening creatures. They are warriors of God. King Herod learned this very vividly. An angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms. Died. That's what an angel did. At the end of the world, we read Jesus saying, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom everything that offends, and everybody who practices lawlessness, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, said Jesus. Uses angels for this. And so in the courtroom of heaven, in the courtroom of the universe, how do we really know if Jesus is who the Bible claims he is? We've never seen him personally. We didn't see him rise from the dead. We didn't see him ascend into heaven. We didn't ever hear him preach, tell a parable. How do we know? We don't know anybody who did see or hear personally. But we have evidence. We have the evidence of all those eyewitnesses. The eyewitnesses of the women at the tomb, and Peter and the other apostles, and a few hundred more early Christians who saw Jesus rise from the dead. We have their witness. But we also have the eyewitness accounts of beings which are not prone by nature to hate God and their neighbor. We have the eyewitness account of the holy angels of God who announce, he's not here, he is risen just as he said. And so we must receive Jesus today as our Messiah and our King. There's no reason not to. We must believe in him. But some people don't care what is preached to them. They will stubbornly continue in their chosen lifestyle and their faith or lack of faith without Christ, without a repentant heart that looks to him alone. And what a terrible disaster awaits them in body and in soul. May it never be said of you that you are ungrateful to God, that you don't see Christ, the one whom thousands upon thousands of angels have worshipped and are worshipping right now. Do you see Christ? Then worship him. Christ, the newborn King. Let's stand and pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this testimony of the angels that screams out to us and to all the world today, whether or not they are here to listen or to believe. Here is our Redeemer. Help us to believe their message because it comes from you. Help us to trust in Jesus alone. Thank you for valuing us so much more than we value ourselves, that you might even send your own Son to die for us. We pray in the words of the prayer he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.